Strength Matters Media, video, print, podcasts.
Today we're talking about seven actionable content marketing tips for gym owners. I am back with Andrew. Andrew, thank you for joining me again this morning. Tip number one, let's dive straight in. It's all about focusing on SEO. Again, we spoke about SEO, but we'll reiterate the point. Why is SEO important?
Hey, it's a big mistake I've made in the past. I've always understood the importance of creating content to be found. But I went along the lines of, hey, I fancy writing about this particular topic, spend significant a number of time, hours, putting the content and getting it published, only for it to tumbleweed, not being found. So that's why we need to focus on SEO first. SEO, as a reminder, search engine optimization. And essentially, it's what keywords or what phrases are people typing into Google or Bing, you know, to find out how to achieve something, how to overcome an obstacle or challenge.
It's what people are actually searching for, right? Not just what topics you love to talk about in fitness that nobody else cares about potentially.
That's it. And there is a time when we can write about particular content, but we need to get what we call our pillar pieces of content in place first. You know, what are these topics that people are actively searching for? And if we do that, we've seen that with a number of our clients who are, you know, this year we're focusing on pillar content with our VIPs. And already within days of getting something published, they're appearing in the first position or first three positions for that particular topic on Google. And why is that important? Well, they're seeing a significant surge of additional traffic to that page on their website. They deliver great value, and then ultimately then there's a good chance that they're going to search around, download a free lead magnet on that page, and they're in the pipeline then to potentially become a client.
Exactly. All about getting the traffic to your page. Tip number two, knowing your audience. Again, we've spoken about this before, but why is it important to understand your target audience?
Again, you know, there's a big mistake I made in the past. I wanted to help everyone. But in helping everyone, we're helping no one essentially, because our content in this instance is just vanilla. It's not really resonating with if somebody even finds it, it's not resonating with them. But if we're clear on who our audience is, then we start to understand the problems and challenges when it comes to their health and wellness, what those challenges are, what's keeping them up at night. So if we're addressing that in our content, then it's going to hit the point. They're going to be engaged. They're leaning in, reading or viewing if it's video content, or listening if it's podcast, of course. But they're consuming the content you're creating. That gives you the chance to showcase your skills, show your authority on that particular topic, and starts building a rapport and relationship with them that next time they see your content, they want to jump into that, or they might already be contacting you for a strategy call or visiting your website to find out more about the services that you offer. But it all drills back to knowing who your target audience is.
Yep, exactly. Really, really important. Tip number three, I love this one. Swipe competitors' best topics. Why not, hey? Everyone steals from everyone nowadays.
Yeah, and it's not about stealing, it's modeling. So don't go copying. We're not telling you to go and find your competition and copy word for word. But if you know, and you should know who your perceived competition is locally and online, if you're doing a hybrid style online training program, you know, we want to be keeping an eye out what they're doing. You know, our phrase is, if they zig, you zag. But equally, if they've got, and there's tools out there that we can use to find this information out, like Hrefs or SimilarWeb or UberSuggest or SEMrush, they all allow you to type in your competitors' websites, and it will pull the data to tell you what are their best performing blog posts, pages and that, and you can have a look at them to see what that content's about. You can find out how much traffic roughly that page is generating, and then model that so that you can. I remember Russell Brunson from ClickFunnels Expert Secrets. He always talked about a hose pipe, and it's firing the water out, but you can put a piece in to have some of the water coming out your way, so you can extract some of that traffic from your client, from your perceived competition. So if they're talking about fasting, they've got that's generating significant traffic. Well, how about you create your an article and your take on fasting or high intensity interval training, got to put my teeth in, or any topic that your clients are interested in, then that's going to be optimized, and then you're getting a portion of that traffic that was originally going to your competition.
Absolutely. Talk about optimizing. That is tip number four. You got to optimize for search intent. Again, you got to know what people are searching for, right?
Yeah, and a good way of doing this is when you type in a particular phrase or keyword into Google, and then it pulls up the results. You can see if it's let's say that you were looking for a pair of some footwear for going to the gym. If you type in a brand name, for example, then it generally would display shopping links to that particular brand of footwear. But if you were looking for, let's say, what types of footwear you should wear for whatever sporting activity you want to do.
Is that like something like, I don't know, best footwear to wear for CrossFit or weightlifting or, yeah.
So that's two different search intents. You know, you've got somebody who already knows they're going to buy the next Nike pair of trainers, but equally then you might have, hey, somebody's interested in joining CrossFit and they want to know what type of footwear is best for that. So there are more than differing options, but that's two examples of why we need to be aware of that and optimize accordingly.
Fantastic. Tip number five, create a content calendar, something we've just spoken about. Why is it important for creating content calendars?
Hey, creating content's hard. And at times, you know, we block some time out to think, right, I've not posted on my socials for a while. And then tumbleweed starts going. You think, oh, what am I going to do?
What am I going to post? What am I doing? Yeah.
I've had that experience many times in the past. And the big thing for me was when I realized that if I had a content calendar for the year, and each month I set a designated theme for that particular month, then it made it easier for me to focus on what topics I might utilize for my socials, for my blog post, and so on and so forth. So that's how I've found I've been able to do that. And then equally, we're able to then make sure that we use a system. We use ClickUp within Strength Matters. So we can make a list of topics that we're going to do, much like we do for the podcast. Then with the team, we can then assign particular tasks that we need to get that episode or that blog post out there. Who's writing it? Who's going to grab any images that you need to add to it? What's the call to action? All of those parts have their place to play, and we can assign them. If you're a one person operation, which I know a number of folks will be, then obviously it's all down to you to do. But again, you can manage it within a system like ClickUp or Trello or Asana or anything like that, or even just a notepad if need be, an Excel spreadsheet. But having that content calendar is important to manage and streamline your workflows effectively.
Yeah, exactly. It just helps manage the workload, doesn't it? Even if it's, as you say, if it's just down in a notepad, at least you know your tasks and what you got to do. Tip number six, promote content across your channels.
Yeah, this is a big one, I think, because I know that, again, I didn't do this historically. I would be posting something on Facebook and then, oh, let me do something on Instagram and, oh, I'll do a blog post or I'll do a podcast or whatever it might be. But then they were all isolated incidents. Whereas if we are more proactive in our approach, then we can, of course, post our content on our socials, but then magnify the impact that has by mentioning it in our weekly emails. If you were doing a weekly newsletter, for example, you can say, hey, by the way, we talked about the importance of creating a content calendar for fitness professionals, for gym owners. Hey, you can go and listen to that latest podcast episode, click here. So we've highlighted an important topic to our list, and we've encouraged them to go and check out that latest podcast episode. And what that does, YouTube then see that we've had a surge of traffic come from our list. So that amplifies the message out then to the masses further, because they can see that it's a popular content. So we just want to be mindful that don't do work in isolation. Look at how we can, you know, get people over from our socials to our blog post, or get people from our email list out to our socials, and so on.
Awesome. And finally, tip number 7, don't sweat the word count. Quality over quantity, perhaps.
Yeah, this is a big one as well, because I've always been in the mindset that you've got to give great value. And if you're doing a blog post, for example, then that blog post has to be of a significant word length. So typically around 2,000, 2,500 words per blog post, which, of course, takes a significant amount of time to put together. But now, because of the, I guess, the TikTok age, you know, everybody likes to consume snippets, then the experts are showing through data that it doesn't necessarily, we don't always need to do these voluminous pieces of content. They have their place, don't get me wrong. But equally, we can mix it up with, you know, 400, 500 word pieces, or, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 seconds shorts that we see on YouTube and, you know, Instagram reels and so on. So don't be fixated on a word count is what we're trying to say here. It's quality over quantity, essentially, is the key piece here.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Andrew. I hope you guys found that useful. That was 7 actionable content marketing tips for gym owners. And if you do want any help with your content and your marketing, you can speak to us, of course. If you want help getting more clients or patients as well, you can book in for your free 15-minute strategy call with us by going to strengthmatters.com/strategy.